Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host. Okay, again, this is pre-recorded, ladies and gentlemen. We're going live and we're pre-recording at the same time. So we have not only that, you know, we're moving on up, so to speak. We're doing a conference call as well as Blog Talk Radio at the same time. Simulcast, as some may call it. And that's, you know, so they can say we are meeting more different audiences, and thank God for that. But in any case, I want to welcome each and everybody to the call this evening. And tonight we're going to discuss some things about current events and what some, you know, we know quite a few problems that exist out there, but we need to start coming up with some type of solutions so we know how to deal with this thing, how to survive this these situations that we're involved with. But before we all get started on this podcast, I would like to introduce my partner in crime, Mr. Satawi Jaheed, who always brings us to a reading. And we also have a special guest on, and that's Miss Fran Allen. And so I want to welcome you both to the call. And before we get started, Mr. Brother, Soldier in Arms, Brother Satawi Jaheed, to you, sir.
All right. Thank you, David. And again, hope you all of those that's out there within the reach of my voice and our voices is that you're doing your best to stay safe. If you do not have to go anywhere, please don't go anywhere. Do like I've been doing. I've been watching some different Netflix series. I watched one the other night, and like 20 episodes to it. My wife, you still up? I'm trying to get through episode 10. But then we'll have Netflix knows how to get you, because what they do at the very end, the last 2 minutes, they take you into a suspense of closing out that episode to prepare you for wanting to stay up to see the next episode, and so on and so on. But anyway, our reading for tonight, from Daily Motivations for African American Success. May 4, a real basket case. Trinity does not send letters of introduction, unquote. Naomi Sims, model and entrepreneur. Your future is bound in your present. Today's thoughts and actions will define your tomorrows. If you hold hopes of a better future, then you must change your thoughts today. Today is yesterday's tomorrows. How do you like today's experiences? Are they as good as you thought they would be yesterday? Actually, there is no such thing as tomorrow, because today is always here. If you waste today, you waste tomorrow. As a rite of invitation, a tribal youth was given a basket and told to coin in a given row. The only requirement was that she was to come. She was to choose as she went along. She could not retrace her steps. She admired the fine quality of corn before her. However, as she felt one ear after another, she left them on the stalks, always thinking that better ears lay ahead. Suddenly, to her dismay, she came to the end of the row and had gathered none of them. Without realizing, her opportunities went fleeing before her. When you put off your good until a more opportune time or until tomorrow, just like this girl, you're placing your treasures beyond your reach. Do not act as if you have 1,000 years to live. Move now toward that which you desire most. I admit, it's proper to plan ahead, but remember, all successful planning must be found upon an appreciation of present opportunities. Today, I will take advantage of my opportunities now. And I mean, I think that's something that, you know, that we all can relate to. You know, I was listening to part of the conversation y'all was having before we came on, and Fran was discussing about her reluctance to participate in stock investments from the past, and how, you know, she finally during this time, she did something wisely with her downtime that a lot of us could, you know, could learn from. And so she investigated more into that and, you know, went on and took that leap. And so, hey, and as she said, you got some stuff that she invested in that within the next 24 months, she should be able to see a 500% return on her investment. So, again, that's an example of seeking your opportunities and not letting your opportunities slip through your fingers. And it's the same as we move through this coronavirus thing that we're dealing with. please, please, people, if you do not have to go anywhere, don't go anywhere. Found out today that a neighbor of ours that used to live next door to us on the left-hand side, who no longer lives there, they moved out about a year and a half ago, but the father ended up with the coronavirus, and it took him out, you know what I mean? So, you know, we don't know where this thing is coming from. We do know that it kills, that it's invisible, you can't see it, can sneak up on you, knock you out, take you out, but it just too shall pass. It's just that we don't know when it's going to pass, and, you know, there's people that's talking about too soon. As you know, friends of mine down in Georgia, you know, they said they don't know what the damn governor was thinking about down there, opening the state of Georgia back up, and, you know, and just that, you know, they thought that was a crazy move. And a lot of people think some of these states are opening up too soon. And that, you know, that be cautious, you know. Mm-hmm. Better to be safe than to be sorry, as my father used to say, you know. And so, you know, we want to just keep those things in mind. And to those out there within the sound of our voices, do the damn thing. Make sure you only go out for essential purposes, just like going to buy some food or, you know, going to, that's basically it, or going to get your prescription or something like that if you're on meds. But if you don't have to go anywhere, don't go anywhere. Stay in, stay put, stay home, stay safe, stay alive, because you don't know how this thing, you know, you don't know how this thing can impact you. You know, you could be out and about and boom, touch the wrong surface, come back with the corona bug. And then next thing you know, you got shortness of breath, you can't taste anything. These are some of the symptoms, and when you know that let you know whether or not you might have it. So shortness of breath, not being able to taste your food, pains in your upper chest, and by then it's too late. Even though they've had over a million people that have recovered from the coronavirus, I was reading that report, and so, you know, that there is hope. It's not the end of the world if you do get the coronavirus. But if you up in age, such as, you know, myself and Mr. Murphy, you know, we both 68 years old, and, you know, so our immune systems ain't what they used to be, and, you know, so we have to be extra mindful of making sure that we do not, you know, get contaminated or contaminate someone else, contaminate a loved one. So please, please, please do not, I repeat, do not, all of those listening out there, do not go out if you do not have to go out, and make sure when you do go out that you have a mask on so that you can protect and save yourself. And with that said, David, that's my opening remarks for tonight's podcast. Turn it back over to you, sir.
Thank you, sir. And I'm glad you led this into that segment, because I appreciate you taking time out to educate us, to warn us that there's still an existing danger that's going out there, even though there's mixed messages being sent from government from all over the place. You know, some people will, some people won't. But you have to work out your own salvation, so to speak. You have to, you know, your life belongs to you, so you have to take control over it. And if you want to jeopardize your life, that's up to you. But like I said, if you want to take precautions, preserve your life, then that's up to you as well. And then, unfortunately, because of the pandemic like this, sometimes you have no choice in the matter, because if other people out there, they can bring it back to you, and then, you know, no fault of your own, you know, they bring it back to you. That's why they say this is a we thing, not a them and they thing. It's we and us, it's everybody, you know. So you know, just please take a call. And speaking of that, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we were talking earlier about Nick Brubster time with Tom. He's giving up some solutions. Now, there's a lot of problems associated with this pandemic. There was a lot of problems before this pandemic, especially when it comes to Black African American indigenous people. But since we are in this thing, and it is what it is, and it's a real thing, people are actually dying. And a lot of people are taking heed. A lot of people are sitting home. A lot of people are, you know, like you say, watching TV. Fran said she was reading the book. And I'll be on the computer 90% of my time, and, you know, but I'm studying. I'm learning new things. I got this program called Divi to help me with building websites, and I'm watching tutorials and things. So I'm making the best of my time, and I'm learning. You can't teach old dogs new tricks. And so, you know, so I'm constantly learning new things, and because I'm preparing, not just for today. But Brother Satavi always mentioned, today is your tomorrow. And so we got to do what we can do today so we can have a better tomorrow. And so that's why we have to, you know, take time, take advantage of this time, you know. And it's a time, you know, like I say, I always say it's balance. It's good to have balance in life. It's a time for this, it's a time for that. It's time to exercise, it's time to eat right, it's a time to enjoy life, and it's time to work. You know, even at home, clean the house or whatever you got to do. Sometimes you need to spend some quality time with your family. Sometimes it's most important you need to spend quality time with yourself. You know, do things you like doing, you know, so to keep that peace of mind. But since we're in this state that we're in and people are contemplating, because like I say, that's why half the people, some of the people wants to go back to work and taking risks, because some people feel as though they have no choice in the matter. They have no source of income coming in. The government is saying they're supposed to take care of this and that, and things are not being met, especially for small businesses and things like that. And so people get into survival mode. Some people are just being fooled, but a lot of people out there, they have no choice. They're in survival mode. They have to eat. They still have to pay their bills and stuff. So therefore, a lot of them are taking that type of action. It's just damn if we do and damn if we don't. But you know, again, for those who have to and don't see no hope, and they don't have no income, you know, they have to do what they have to do. But at the same time, for those of us who still have time, while we still can contemplate what our tomorrow's going to look like, we have no idea what it's going to look like, but we can put in some preparations for it. We can prepare for it. We can prepare for it, like I said, if this thing come around again. We know what we need now, you know. We know certain things we have to do. So, you know, take that to heart. You may want to stock up on certain things, you know, that you know you're going to need if this thing come around again. But at the same time, a lot of people may actually going to lose their employment, their source of income. A lot of businesses won't be able to open back up again. And small businesses, ladies and gentlemen, is the backbone of this entire country, you know. But and a lot of people going to lose a lot of jobs. And so, therefore, if you can't get hired by corporate America, so what do you do? What's your next step plan of action? And I always say this, God gives every man a measure of gifts and talents. And this is the time, ladies and gentlemen, to look into those gifts and talents. Some of you have so many powerful gifts and talents that you can make a way for yourself. The Bible speaks about that. Your gifts will make a way for you. But a lot of you know how to sew. A lot of you know how to write books. Well, you don't know, but you need to learn how to. You can take this time to do so. But at the same time, a lot of you had those gifts, and you might want to start a business. This business is still going on. Whether you're home or not, business and commerce is still taking place. And it's, I'm so glad this evening that we have Miss Fran Allen with us, because this woman, from my perspective, is a very multi-talented young lady. From my knowledge, when I first met her, she was doing what they call secretarial services when I first met her. Then she graduated on to motivational speaking. Then she got into the political world. She was behind the scenes and in front of the scenes in a lot of areas over the years. And then she even became author of several books. And she also, now we are working together again after many years. We reunited, and she assists the National Black Unity News in so many different areas. And I appreciate her for this, but, you know, we all have this thing where people motivate us, inspire us. And I don't know if she noticed that, but she's one of my inspiration. And because I love to hear her speak, and I love her passion. Not passion just for what she does, but passion for life. And she keeps it real. And that's why I love that. She just keep it real. She call a spade. I don't take that as a pun, but I'm just saying that, you know, she's straight up about this. But You know, for such a time as this, we need people like Friend, Brother Satavi, who generally care about us. Not just black people, but all people, but especially us, though. And see, one thing about Fran, this I do know, she's brutally honest sometimes. You know, and sometimes the best of us, even me, you know, I'm an idea man, I'm inspired. I sit on things that could bring in serious money. And I had a long meeting this morning, and I had with some people on there, and I told them, I'm stepping out. I cannot wait for every I to be dotted, for every T to be crossed. Yeah, I have to answer to God. I got to move forward. Y'all can go in and do all of that other stuff, but I'm going to get me and my little team together, and we're going to do what I have to do, what I'm inspired to do, you know. And so, you know, that's where that's at. But getting back to Fran, you know, she'll tell you, you know, she say sometimes the thing that's going to liberate us the most is sometimes cause us the biggest fear. Even though, man, it's kind of shocking. I hope she don't get upset with me when I share this with y'all. But I'm going to say it anyway because I'm going to keep it real, too. Because sometimes, you know, because sometimes when we keep it real, it liberates people. Because she told me, it wasn't the day, but she told me, I don't know if it was a week or 2 weeks ago, even though when I see she gets in front of people, she just speaks so eloquent, she seems so comfortable, and like it's no problem. But she told me one time, you know, that's one of my biggest fears, speaking. You know, she's saying, And how can that be? You know, that's what she does, you know. But I do understand that. I do understand because when you come comfortable, too comfortable with your gift sometimes you know, like they say in the Bible, sometimes you can beat people over the head with the Bible and the words of the Bible that you ain't no earthly good. You can't be whipping on people, but if you ain't demonstrating what the Bible say, then you can speak in words. But when the person keeps it real, and speaks from their heart, in spite of their fear. So that shows courage. It shows courage right there. But then when the person does, like Anne, when she does speak, she speaks with conviction. And when she does speak, she speaks because she really wants to help people. She put her fears aside, and then she takes on that task. And that's what true soldiers does. You know, these true soldiers, when they get on the battle, yeah, they got a fear of being shot or being hit by bullets or anything like that, but yet they go out there, get on that front line and take care of the job, what they have to do. And with that being said, speaking of problems, and this type of show, me and Brother Andre Hector always say, let's keep it real. In this day and time, people got some serious fears that they dealing with. I mean, some people are jumping out of windows. Some people, because of your presidency, was even drinking all kinds of crazy stuff, man, trying to get rid of the virus. I mean, was seriously doing this, you know, so,
yeah,
so fear is real. Yeah. So fear is real, and people are gullible to a lot of things, especially with fear coming in, because when you got fear, it confuses you sometimes, and it puts you in a bad situation. But I want to bring you, I said this long introduction to you because of this. I want you to pay close attention, not only to your fears, the thing that you think you're afraid of, but that same fear may be the same thing that can liberate you once you face the facts. I'm going to let Fran talk, because she told me how she just faced the fear that just before this call. So, Fran, without any more introduction, this Miss Fran Allen, ladies and gentlemen.
David, you always, it's like I'm standing on the sidelines, and I'm listening to you say these wonderful, amazing things about this individual and, you know, this person, and it just pumps me up, and it makes me feel so glad to know, you know, this person and to have had the opportunity to be in the same space to meet this person. And then I wake up and realize that you're talking about me. And it's always like whenever I hear an introduction, when other people give me my props, it really does feel like we're talking about somebody else. It really does feel like, you know, this amazing, extraordinary person. And then they say my name, and it always surprises me. Even though I know it's coming, it still surprises me. But thank you for that, my friend. We've been close for a long time.
That's right. Yep.
You know, fighting the good fight for a long time. But I'm not upset with you at all, David. The speaking thing is my greatest fear. I can't say that I have truly overcome it, But what I can say is I face it every day, and every day I do not allow it to get the best of me. I control it. I don't allow it to control me. It's not an easy thing, but I do have passion. I do have compassion. I do have conviction. And when I'm operating in those spaces, the fear is always smaller than my faith. Always.
All right. There you
so
go.
Many years ago, my very good friend who I truly do miss, the former Congressman Elijah Cummings told me one day, success, achievement, growth all come with some level of discomfort, some level of anxiety, some level of confusion, some level of fear. And if you don't address the anxiety, the confusion, the fear, the discomfort, you will never be able to achieve. You will never be able to succeed, because those things, success and achievement and growth, are on the other side of that discomfort and that anxiety and that confusion and that fear. So you have to get past it. You have to get past it in order to get to the thing that God has planted just on the other side of it for you. You know, it was just like this. It was just like this story that I read yesterday that was so poignant to me. It was about this lady who saw a butterfly, and the butterfly, well, she saw a cocoon. And the cocoon, you know, you could see the butterfly inside the cocoon struggling to get out. And it had made this little tiny hole, and he was struggling so hard to get his whole body out of that cocoon through that little teeny hole. And so the lady thought, well, you know, I don't want the butterfly to struggle. I'll just help him out. She got some scissors, and she very carefully, you know, snipped and snipped at the hole until it was large enough for the butterfly to come out without struggle. Except the lesson that was learned is that God intended for the butterfly to struggle. In the struggle, the butterfly would use muscles and use that struggle to force fluid into his wings so that when he got out of the cocoon, he would be able to fly. And without that struggle, he came out of the cocoon, but his body was swollen and his wings were small and he never grew. The wings never grew, and his body never reduced. And he just lived his life out crawling around the ground like a bug instead of flying like the beautiful butterfly that he was.
Wow.
The struggle was the whole point. The struggle was the whole lesson. The struggle was the whole exercise that would take the butterfly from being a larva to being a butterfly. That's the same thing that our fear and the anxiety and the confusion and the discomfort, that's the same thing. That's the struggle. And we have to go through it in order for us to use our muscles and make us stronger in our mind and stronger in our body and stronger in our conviction and stronger in our decisions and stronger in our intention. Because all those things are the things that take us to achievement and to success and to growth. And so that is the reason why, you know, I face that fear. I face that fear. It is not easy. It is not easy. And most people that see me always say, you're afraid of speaking? You? Yeah, me. They don't believe it. They don't believe it. But I understand why, because when you give me a mic and put me in front of a room, the fear, the anxiety, the confusion, the discomfort, I tell it to get behind me. Get behind me. because I know that God did not give me a spirit of fear. Get behind
me. Let me ask you this question. Is this because, you know, like I'm getting old, I got to jump in when I can before I forget. Well, that's the truth, though. but in any case, once you get up there and you face this fear, like I say, a lot of people listening to us will be listening to this podcast. When they face this fear, well, I don't know if I can, this, that. But once you start speaking, and once you finish speaking, how does it make you feel?
Well, first of all, when I'm speaking, I'm in a zone. When I'm speaking, I have this passion and this energy that just comes. I think that is the anointing that God gives me. And I'll say what I say, and I impact the way that I do, and I motivate, and I inspire, and I encourage people using the words that God gives to me. And when I'm done and I give up the mic and I go sit down, it feels like having had an out-of-body experience. It feels like I was sitting over on the side of the room watching myself deliver this impassioned presentation, and then I sit down and I saw myself move people, but I can't really remember what I said to move them. I just know that people tell me, that was wonderful, friend. You know, you were speaking to me, or you know, I can't believe you said I am motivated. I'm encouraged to go do, and it's like they're called to action. Except I can't remember what I said to call them to action because I'm not speaking from me. I'm not speaking from my voice. This is not my message. This is not my intention for them. It's the gift that God gave to me to give to whoever is in the room. That's God's gift. I'm the vessel. And so that's what it feels like when I'm done. When I'm done, I kind of feel like somebody tell me what I said.
I can understand that. And guess what else, Fran?
What?
You know, for those who are listening to us, and like I say, they contemplate maybe starting a new business, or they try to figure out how they're going to make their next dollar through this pandemic situation, how they're going to feed their family, how they're going to prepare for their next future. And it may cause them anxiety because they don't know, they're not sure because they don't know what the outcome, even if they try to start a new business, what's the next step and all. So it kind of brings up fears, it brings up anxiety and stuff like that. Now, you are self-explaining that to them, but if you had them right now in front of you, and like I said, they could be doing all sorts of things, what would you say to them? Because, you, like I say, I'm going to say this, I'm not going to answer you the question that I'm answering you, but I know you author several books, and somebody like me who got a book, I have several books within me, and it's not always fear all the time. It's just that I don't know how to get started, or you know, I know how to. I can read and say, well, you do this first and do these things first, but you have to execute sometime, and once you execute. You have to, you know, like I said, all that causes anxiety and everything like that. So what do you suggest to somebody? Because me and you talk about this oftentimes, is that when a person have gifts and talents that God bless each and every one of us with, but yet they sitting around and say, I don't know what to do next. I don't know how. What would be your suggestion to them?
My suggestion to them is to begin to pull the pieces out. So if you're wanting to write a book, then I would start a journal, because whatever the information is that you want to put in your book, you got to get it out of your head. It has, you know, it's a book, so you have to write it out. You have to write it down. So start with a journal, and then I would say, pick up a book that looks like, that feels like, that sounds like, that delivers like what you're trying to accomplish. And then pattern yourself the structure of what you're doing. The structure of what you're doing. Don't take the information out of the book and say that it's yours. That's plagiarism. That's against the law. Mm-hmm. But it's got to have a cover. It's got to have the information page that has your ISBN number and your barcode and, you know, the author's name and who illustrated and who edited and who printed and all that information. Then there's a table of contents page. Maybe there's an introduction. Maybe there's chapters. However you want to set your book up, find a book that you like, that you really enjoyed reading, that the structure of it was easy, you know, and was something that was comfortable for you to get through, and then structure your project after this thing. If this was comfortable, structure your project in a comfortable way, something that's easy.
Okay.
Once you do all of that, you know, you need to get an editor. You need to get an editor. An editor is important because everybody doesn't. It's hard for people to write correctly because most people write the way that they speak, and often we don't speak in correct English. We just speak. You know, the message comes out. You know, we use a lot of slang, we drop letters, we do all that. An editor is going to look at your project, and they're going to clean it up and make it a professional presentation of your ideas. That's very important. If you want people to take you seriously, you have to allow a professional to get a hold of your work and to massage it in a professional fashion without losing the message that you're trying to convey. That's a hard thing to do. It's hard to find a really good editor, but they are out there. I have a couple of recommendations if people are interested in knowing, you know, looking for an editor, but that's very important. And they can also help you through with the rest of the process about how to get your ISBN number. That's the number that's assigned to your work, so that number, you put that number in anywhere, and you will always come up with your book. Your barcode, that's the piece that they scan in the bookstore to get the price of the book. So you need one of those if you're going to put it in Barnes & Noble or Amazon or any of those places. But I would just say start. Even if your business is not writing a book, maybe your business is a cleaning business or a hair braiding business or a baking business. You like to bake, and now you're going to turn baking into an income-producing endeavor, or a speaking business. You have to take those ideas that you have in your head and put them down on paper and create a plan. And that plan is the thing that you use, the 1, 2, 3 ABC of how you get from where you are to where you're trying to go. And once you get that plan, once you know what it is that you're trying to achieve, then you take those things and you write them out in such a way that you actually have a strategy that's going to allow you to accomplish your plan. It's all step by step by step. It's just taking one step at a time. Put one foot in front of the other. Every single day, do one more thing, not 10 things, because you'll overwhelm yourself. Just do one more thing every day, one thing. And when you do that one thing, pat yourself on the back for accomplishing your goal for that day, and then go do something else, because it'll keep you fresh about your idea when you come back to it. And it's not rocket science. You just have to be after it. Persistence. Okay. Persistence is everything.
Okay, now, we got Brother Satari. Also, we see Mr. Walter Murphy and Miss Kathleen Murphy has joined us. But Brother Satari, I met you many years ago as well. And you and your wife, you know, y'all was working with youth and everything like that. And I know it wasn't easy because, you know, during the time when I first met you. But because y'all had that thing within you, that you were so into children, that you the first thing I noticed about them was that they turned the whole downstairs into an area for children to grow and to learn and to dance and do everything else in there, and that's how dedicated they were. And so, Brother Satari, can you hear me, Brother Satari? Okay, I don't know if he's muted or not. But in any case, praying what I was going to ask the brothers to talk with this. You know, that passion you were speaking about, that thing within all of us, that gift within all of us, and a lot of people, like I say, sometimes don't know how to plant them seeds with those gifts that they have. And like I say, we were speaking about this thing called fear or just not knowing sometimes. And like I say, people sitting home now, they don't know what tomorrow going to bring. Now, you just shared with me something earlier today about some things with, you know, with financial services and things like that. And can you share with people, you know, you said this just came upon you recently, some of these thoughts and stuff that, you know, that you had to deal with. How did you just share a little bit about that conversation?
Okay, so a few months ago, when this whole pandemic thing came about and the governor decided he was going to shut everybody's movement down, we were all stuck in the house. I was sitting in here and I was thinking, you know, what am I going to do? How am I going to make my time more productive? Because I was getting bored and I was getting antsy and, you know, it was getting harder and harder for me to sit in the house and not be able to go out. You know, I was feeling frustrated. I was feeling anxious. I was feeling all these things. And then I realized, you know, I got to get a grip. I was losing my grip. And so I decided that I was going to use this time in the most productive way that I could. And for me, that was by entering into some different projects that would increase my self-learning, my self-knowledge. So the first of those things that I did was I joined a meditation group that I get these meditation, these things, these tasks to do, and this meditation that I do every morning to center my thoughts, right? So while I was doing that, one of the projects was about abundance and prosperity and thinking about how you could bring more abundance and more prosperity to yourself. And through that exercise, I realized that the thing that was stopping me from achieving abundance and receiving prosperity was fear. Because, see, none of that stuff happens just because you wanted to. There's some action that you have to take. For every action, there is a reaction.
You started.
All right.
Please announce yourself.
So when I started, a lot of reverb. Can you hear me, Dave? There we go. Can you hear me? Okay, very good. So I decided that I was going to teach myself some things. And the one thing that I was most fearful of was finance.
Yes.
Okay. So I decided that I was going to teach myself about finance. So I just started Googling things and signing up to receive various reports and reading things about prosperity and how you can actually call prosperity to your life with intention and different things like that that I was using, that I was learning through these meditation experiences that I was having every morning with this other project that I joined. So it all served to come together in one big full circle. I started meditating to give myself calm and to give myself peace through this experience, you know, so that I wouldn't be frustrated and anxious and stuff. And what that did is it cleared my mind enough for me to be able to absorb some new things. And those new things that I began to absorb started to increase my confidence and increase my knowledge and increase my desire to try something new and to try something different. And so I did that. And as I stepped out and I learned a little more and a little more, I actually was able to clean up my credit, retire some old debt, pay off some old credit cards using a very simple system. You start with the lowest, the smallest debt first. And when you pay the smallest debt off, the payment that you were paying on the smallest debt and add it to the payment for the next smallest debt. So, for instance, if you're paying $25 a month on something and you paid it off, now you take that $25 and add it to the next $25 that you were paying on something. So now that you're paying $50 on that and you pay it off, then you take that $50 and you add it to the next thing. And now maybe it's not, maybe it's $75 a month that you're paying on it until you pay it off. And you keep going like that until you knock the debts out one by one.
Brother Satawi.
Yes, sir.
You may have your two systems too close together, so.
Unmuted. Muted. Muted. Unmuted.
Y'all may have some technical.
Maybe. Muted. It's Kathleen and Demi too. Are they close?
All of mine is coming to my phone. So
maybe it's Kathleen and Demi that are too close.
All right, hold on.
Unmuted. Muted.
All right. Can you hear me again?
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, I paid off some old debt. I got rid of some credit cards, and I freed up some resources. And I took those resources, and I opened an investing account with Merrill Edge. And then I took my newfound information, went looking for some particular stocks. I found them, and I purchased, which is something that I would never have done. It took me 15 years to get to a place where I was comfortable enough to do that. 15 years. But if I had gone looking for the information and took away the element of the unknown, I could have done this 15 years ago. The only difference is that I allowed my lack of knowledge to persist longer than it needed to, longer than it had to, longer than it should have, simply because I wouldn't go looking for the information that was readily available to me the whole time.
Wow.
Nobody was in my way but me. And when I finally got me out of my way, it opened up this whole new opportunity. And now, in 24 months or so, I stand to make at least a 500% gain on the investments that I just made, because I made them with an educated mind as opposed to just guessing.
Okay, let me ask you this. Mr. Murphy, can you unmute yourself? Because Fran spoke about something earlier, and I know this is one of your errors of forte.
Oh, yes, it is.
When you speak into the universe, when you make up your mind that you cancel out this fear thing, because fear, you know, is always present, but, you know, if you overcome. And there's something about the universe. When you speak from within your heart, when Fran was talking about, she was, when she gets up in the morning, she was doing, what do you call that word?
I was meditating.
Meditating and things like that. So you send stuff out there and you center yourself and you do all of these things. And then you set things down to the universe. And, Mr. Murphy, you can elaborate on this a little bit. The universe is pretty much waiting on us. You know, the universe has everything. Everything's interconnected.
Yeah.
And it's already there. But if you ask, if you have to act with belief, and you got to act with action, too. So, Mr. Murphy, what's your thought on that, sir?
I have many thoughts. Can you guys hear me? Good, okay. And most of them are not thought through the affirmations. And when I say the affirmation, it's something that has already been laid into my heart and been proven by the Almighty that this thing is real, okay? And so it's no magic to me that when Fran was talking about the idea, once she got into it, all of a sudden it started serving her. That's life across the board, ladies and gentlemen. It don't have to be finance. It could be anything in life. But what's more important is that there is this attraction that each and every individual on this planet has. You see, and what people don't realize is that, you know, they talk about meditation and connecting and all that kind of stuff, and a lot of people get confused with religion. And to be honest with you, had nothing to do with religion.
Nothing.
Is long before anybody decided that they were going to be an organized religion. These concepts have been based all the way back since the beginning of time. And so what we have to do is no longer go out and start looking and really trying to, chase money. My thing now is I'm like you, friend, okay? I've changed my attitude. I let the master do all my bidding for me. I ask in earnest, and what I am now is no longer a money chaser. I am a money magnet. When I say that, I'm not running over with wealth. That's not what's going on. But every one of the things that I desire has already been taken care of. That's where peace comes in. If there's a little extra, that's fine. But, you know, all I want to do is be at peace. And you can do that. Everybody can pretty much do that with just a little bit of capital and a lot of time.
Yep.
Because if you get time in, you will get paid. So that's just what I want to share with you. That's it. That's pretty much it. Back to you, David.
Let me say this to you. You know, sometimes, you know, if you look at something, certain things in your life. Now, see, if people know, I publish a newspaper. And before me and my brother, we get some deep conversations sometimes. But I do remember that it came to me as a inspiration. I took that inspiration. I prayed on it, but I took action. I say I made up my mind. I said I'm going to do this. I'm going to start a newspaper. But then a couple of months later, with that just a seed of a thought, a couple of months later, it was in my hand.
It
came to fruition. And
right.
None of that, you know, later on in life when I start, I'm going to start doing something, I want to do something, before you know it, it's in your hand. Some people say, I want to get a house one day. Before they made up their mind, and then they said, they think you know they're in a house. I'm going to get in the car. I'm going to get that job. I'm going to take this thing here. But if you put it in your mind and you believe, now there's some things that you say, you know, space, they call it space, things that's in between us, but there is no space. Everything interconnected.
And right now, all of this
stuff is out there. If you ask, well, can you imagine, like, if you just watch these little things as children, a genie, you rub it, and you say, give me this, and it appears. It just don't work just like that way, but you can put things in your mind and in your heart. You take action,
and it shall appear. Can I jump in one more time real quick? This is beautiful. You talk about the genie, the jinn, all the way back in the beginning of time. There is this thing about Aladdin's lamp. And everybody kind of knows the story. You know, you rub the lamp, you know, and all of a sudden the genie comes out, and his one statement to you is, your wish is my command. And so, you know, you go to the thing, you know, and lo and behold, you know, you get your three wishes, and then what happens? But that's the story they're proposing to us now. If you go back and look at that story, and it's his origins, there were no limits. And the gem is the universe. And it always says, whatever you ask for, I'm gonna give it to you, good and bad. So be careful what you ask for, and be and precise in what you ask for.
Yeah.
It was just saying, no, back to you, friend. You said what you feed the most is what you get, right? If you feed fear, that's what
you're
having. To those people listening to us right now, we just throwing this out at you, because if you're sitting home fearing, not knowing, and don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, you need to take some time, look within yourself. Don't see the God planted into you. Remove that fear and start taking some action. Believe in yourself. That's why even the Bible speaks like believing. You're a champ. You believe it in your heart.
That's true. That's
you can
true.
Move the mountain. So like I say, we kind of let you know, fear not, because you know you got living examples. I got several people I'm looking at right now, because when they put it in their heart, those things achieve. They achieve those things, and so you know, Brother Sakai, I was trying to get to you earlier, and I was saying how you work with those children. And see right now, and see, plan to go see. It comes. But Mr. Tommy.
Unmuted.
And what I was saying, those seeds that was planted, that Satavi and his wife planted years ago, this year, twice it happened. We have a thing me and Brother Bill started called Black Men Unifying Black Men. And we had black men come together, all age groups. And one of the guys came in, I think he's a police officer now. And he stood before the crowd and seen Brother Satavi standing there. And he gave up, he stood and said, yeah, I'm here. He said, introduce yourself. Tell me what you do. Brother stood up. He looked over at Brother Satavi. Yeah, I want to recognize Mr. Satavi guy. He said, because years ago, Brother Satavi had me in his camp, and he pulled me up and such this day. And then another time, me and him sitting side by side this time, he was a state senator, man. McCory, what's his name? He was a state senator. And he was standing up there, and he was a guest speaker. And he stood before the crowd and said, yeah, wait, before I get started, I want to recognize Brother Satavi there. You know, he's like, years ago, this brother pulled me up. And planted some seeds in his life. And see, so what I'm saying is, you know, sometimes, I'm just saying this, when we look at things, when we plant seeds, not only in our own personal life, but in other people's lives as well, fruition comes. You may never see the outcome. Now, if Brother Satavi never came to the breakfast, at any rate, but that seed was still planted, and they still recognize them as instrumental into their life. And so what I was saying, Mr. Ben, before you came on, I was sharing people about Fran Allen. You see, Fran Allen, she planted seeds in my life years ago. And she don't even know how great it was, but she planted some great seeds back in my day, you know, because that's when I first started putting on events and stuff. Fran was my first speaker at my first event.
Yeah,
I got it, Dave. Yeah. And the Indeed, our mother was there. Our mother and daddy was there in the audience.
Yeah, that's true. That's
true. But see, things like that, see, you never, when it comes back full circle. And so I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen who are listening to this podcast, this is the time. Don't, you know, believe in yourself, believe in the vision, because this is the time, because if you've been ripping and running pretty much all your life, man, you got time to sit still. You got time to contemplate. You got time to change your mind. With that being said, Fran, I want you to finish up, because, like I said, these people, our people, need some help and some hope.
Well, look, I posted two songs. One was Your Wish Is My Command, is by The Sounds of Blackness. And then the other one was Total Praise, and it was performed by Richard Smallwood. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have the ability to pour positive and good and kindness and appreciation and gratefulness into our own spirit so that you get out what you put in. You know, and you put all this positive stuff in your spirit, you put all this positive things in your mind, then when you open your mouth, guess what comes out? Positive stuff. But that doesn't happen by accident. That's intentional. That's intentional. But it's also intentional when the opposite is true. When you're looking at stuff you know you don't have any business looking at, listening to stuff that you know is not espousing respect or courtesy or kindness, but it's rather the opposite, or you're looking at things that you know are too risque and don't show respect for candy, don't show respect for women, don't show respect for men, don't show respect for anybody. But you're looking at that, and the more you're looking at it, the more it's feeding into your soul. And then you go outside, and you're cussing, and you're fussing, and you're fighting, and you're raising heck, and you're doing all these things that are never, ever going to serve you in a positive way. But you keep doing it because that's what you keep feeding yourself. Flip the script. Flip the script. You might think that, you know, well, you know, I ain't going to be no punk. But it takes a big man to walk away from craziness that doesn't have anything
right.
to do with him.
And
it takes
so,
a big man.
That's right. You're so right. Because what you feed the most is what you're going to, what the outcome is going to be. You know, and I just hope and pray that, you know, people, we don't have too much time left, but, you know, I hope and pray that people take heed because we have so much power within us. If God has blessed us with power, you know, we have a thing called choice.
Mm.
And you can choose to have a better life or you can choose to have a lesser life.
That's
you
right.
know, and it's just that simple. It's a choice. And you ask. You ask because, like I said, everything is right there at your fingertips. We even got this thing, but we're talking on that a computer. Do you know when I was a little boy, because Tom told my age from the beginning of the show. So people are, yeah, we both 68, so we already told that. but when I was a little boy, you know, we had nothing but books and a library. We got to go to the library. We didn't have no calculators. We didn't have none of that kind of stuff when I was a little boy. So we had to look it up, and we had to sit just to read it, and we used the imagination. And so you exercise. Remember you were talking about that butterfly. So we had an opportunity
mm-hmm.
to exercise
mm-hmm.
our thoughts and stuff, you know, because we used it a lot. It was a tool that
right.
we used imagination. We would listen
right.
to it. As a little boy, a teacher would tell us a story. All of them children, man, different views of that same story.
Mm-hmm.
But we used that imagination, though. And so, you know, and we had inspiration because we saw a singer or something like that, and we perceived in our own mind. Well,
mm-hmm.
I would
mm-hmm.
love to do that. You know, somebody who dressed well, I would love to dress, you know, man, you know. And so we perceived things, perceived it enough, and we believed it enough. We became those things.
We know what we want to do. And somebody,
like I say, you know, somebody said, well, I told a story a long time ago, but I said I always wanted to be a great singer. But a teacher told me in the second grade, so when I was singing, I just jumped up and started singing one day. And the teacher told me, shut up. And the children started laughing at me. And I really
mm-hmm.
never sing publicly again. Never, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Ever until I got into my 60s. I should start playing
mm-hmm.
around with the cell phone. I was singing into it. And I played with the, wait a minute. And I kept on going, and I just kept on trying. And guess what? I had a tough question. I didn't give myself singing. Now, can you imagine all of those years with a little proper training from somebody?
Mm-hmm.
All of those years, I could have been.
Yes.
I could have been. Because if you know how to do proper dictation, I mean, how to hit certain notes, I mean, if you could talk, you could sing pretty much. If you know how to breathe right and all of that
mm-hmm.
kind of stuff, holding notes. But see, a lot of people get cut off because of what somebody said, what somebody
right.
perceived, what we perceive from ourselves. And my friend, Mr. Murphy, Sir Tyler, and everybody on here, I thank y'all so much because, like I said, all of y'all have poured into my life. And that's why I say I know about seeds because everybody on this phone call has planted seeds in my life. And and I've grown from, like I say, so no, I have a good, healthy diet of seeds. But at the same time, ladies and gentlemen, who's listening to us, and I'm going to let everybody close out with a statement. But this is my closing out statement is this. There is always hope. No matter what situation you're in, you can change your situation. I don't care how old you are, you can change your situation. And I don't care what kind of condition you're in, that can change as well. And so you have the power within your mind and with your power to reason, you have a choice. Make a wise choice. And before I would let Fran close out, Mr. Murphy, you want to close his statement, sir?
Yeah, just one real brief one. You know, we was talking about money and all that kind of stuff, but people understand something. You know, there is a three-tier concept in life as far as I'm concerned, and it's real simple. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, there's time. When it's over with, then there's information which the rest of the business have are in, and it provides you all kinds of things. And then there are tools that we use, and money is the number one tool on this planet. And so it's not so much that you get it, it's what you do when you get it. You can take a penny and make $1 billion out of it. And so don't get it wrong. Money is what it is, and if you choose to use it in a different format than spending it and using it willy-nilly, I guarantee you it is one of the most precious tools that you will ever have in your arsenal, and it will provide for you the kind of peace most of us dream about. And so that's kind of where we are with that. And at the end of the day, don't worry about money. Just make sure that you become a money magnet. That's my thing.
All right, Brother Satara, right. Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir, I can hear you. Can you hear me, David?
Brother Satara.
Can you hear me, David?
He's having some difficulty. Let me see if he's unmuted.
Unmuted.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, wait a minute. Speak again, brother.
Yeah, I'm saying, can you hear me?
I'm going to do this. I'm going to unmute everybody.
Unmuted.
Can you hear me, David?
Can you hear me?
Tell me, Jacko, you need to come with him. The phone is on twice.
Okay, I just wanted to share with the listening audience that when I moved to Demerson Village in 1963, the Demerson Village library became my best friend. We moved to the Bulletin Project. And it enabled me to go many a place in my mind.
Muted. Unmuted. Muted.
I'm trying to mute up one of his things here. Go ahead, Satari.
Okay, can you hear me better now?
Okay, we lost him again. Let me see this one more time.
Muted.
Can you hear me?
You still have an echo.
Okay, all right. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Go to France.
Muted.
Okay, like I said, we have technical difficulties, but Fran, closing, what would you like to
say? I don't know if Cam was saying or not. I'm not sure. I just don't know. Just ask her.
Oh, yeah, Kathleen. Before I get to Fran, Kathleen. Kathleen, you want to share anything? I guess well, she's on me, too. Let me do that. So.
Yeah.
Kathleen, can you hear me now? Let me use unmuted and see what happens.
Unmuted.
Kathleen.
We know what you got. A lot of little.
Participants in the conference, the recording has started. Please announce yourself.
I didn't think that I would make sound enough decisions, and all of those things came from not knowing. Now that I have taken the time to really learn the process, learn information, learn about opportunities, learn where they come from, what makes them strong, what makes them weak, what makes it possible to gain the percentage of return. When you learn those things, you make better decisions. When you make better decisions, you make some money. Learn.
All right. Okay. Robert Satara, are you able to come back on?
Yeah, can you hear me? Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, no echo now. Okay.
All right, great. Yeah, I was saying that we moved from the projects to Emerson Village. The Emerson Village Library became like my closest friend, you know, and there I used to could go there and I could read books. I never forget the first book I got was about a little boy, a little black boy who was learning how to play baseball, and the baseball team he ended up playing for ended up going to the Little League World Series. And so I had this picture in my mind of Williamsburg. But anyway, that as you were saying earlier in the broadcast about, you know, that we didn't have technology growing up, so we had to use our mind, our imagination. And I would get books and I would read them, and, you know, my mind would take me to a lot of different places. And that really became very helpful and powerful in my my growth and development. And then later on when I got to college, you know, I had this same kind of fear that Fran had, fear of speaking, because I ended up when I left CCB, I went to the University of New Orleans, which was a predominantly white school, and I never had to speak, you know, to white folks. And I never forget this class I was in, and I had to give a report. And unfortunately, that day I had a pair of dark pants on. I urinated on myself, and you know, class couldn't see it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's how much, that's how nervous I was in terms of speaking. And so I learned to be able to get to the point of being able to do public speaking because of that experience that had me so fearful that I actually urinated on myself. And like I said, again, you know, I had on a pair of dark pants so class couldn't see that I had urinated on myself. And that enabled me, when I overcame that experience, I said, how bad can it get? Can't get no worse than that. So from there, I was able to conquer that fear and be able to channel my speaking abilities to the point that a friend of mine, I was president of NAACP, and my vice president used to have a statement. He used to say, give Satawi a mic and put him in a crowd with people. He said, we're going to come out with some money, because I had a way of just being able to motivate people and get folk to buy whatever it was that we were selling. And I learned a lot listening to what you were saying earlier, friend, about, you know, conquering your fear and that once you into it, you know, you don't really, you know, once I learned to get into what I was saying to my audience, and one of the things I would do is that I usually would look somebody in the audience, look them in the eyes, and then I would address as if I was talking only to them and block everybody else out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
So that helped me be able to really get to the point of being able to become a good public speaker. So, you know, there's a lot that we can learn from each other. And there's a lot that is going on. And the main thing is, again, people out there listening, you don't have to go nowhere. Please stay home. The life you save could be your own. The life you live could be your own. So, you know,
and you know,
practice what that means.
Okay, in closing, yeah, we got to really get off here. In closing, there's one more fear, and I think a lot of people have to overcome. We're going to have a big discussion on this. Is a thing called fear of success. And, you know, a lot of people may have so many gifts and talents, but when they get to a certain level, they don't take them other step. They stay at the stagnant place. But, you know, but this is the time, I think, a lot of people, a lot of businesses going to have to step up, and they're going to have to step outside the box now, because this is, like I say, a serious time. I don't know what's going on in the universe. I tell people there's three laws: God's laws, natural laws, and man's laws, and we have to operate in all three of them. But I think this is the time the universe is being shaken up, and this is the time a lot of seeds going to be planted, a lot of stuff going to be birthed out of this pandemic, and a lot of fear is going to be birthed out of it as well. And so, but for those of us who's going through something, I think next week we're going to talk about the fear of success as well, because we have to get over this little hump sometimes in order to achieve those goals and aspirations that God planted within us. And like I say, but God is not the author of fear. And so, you know, there's certain situations that, you know, at the group of us, we can talk about this next week, because there's a lot of folks, including myself, who need, you know, because, like I said, sometimes the words we speak, our words don't come back void, but the words we speak, the words that just by, like, friend, you said it best. You know, when you get there, even though you may have some fear or a little anxiety, but once you start, you're inspired. You're in the zone. And sometimes you don't know what you be saying, but you say you're gifted, you know, you're operating in the zone of God, you know, you just, you know, letting that thing flow out of you. And sometimes when we have discussions like this, things come out, and you never know who's going to be listening in. Maybe one of us, you know, each one teach one, and that can bring out some information that can alter and change not only our lives, but the people's lives around us. So with that being said, I'm going to say good night to everybody, and thank each and every one of you for being on this broadcast. Much love and respect. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
This session is no longer being recorded.
I might have to do a lot of editing on this one, but that's all right. We got it. All right, y'all take care.